I don't know. I mean, but it's no different than any other superstition. I mean, some people wear the same shirt every week, even though it doesn't always make them win. I mean, you have a lucky shirt, Brandon. Who are you to lecture me on?
I'm not lecturing. I am actually superstitious, very much so. I knock on wood all the time. When I was a kid, I would borderline OCD. I'd be like, if you say a thing like 3 times in 10 seconds, it'll come true. Like that kind of shit.
I mean, you know, I never claim to know what I don't know.
Yeah.
So whatever that means. Brandon, I think we're running smoothly. Yeah, so I think we just roll in. Right. What are we doing?
I'm going to do the intro. I know that we might.
You're going to do the intro.
Yeah, I'm going to do the intro.
Okay. Yeah, I would love that. Brandon, please start us off.
Bart, I've asked you not to whistle that annoying tune.
Yo, everybody, and welcome back once again to Simpsons is Greater Than. As always, I am your co-host, Brandon, known to few of you as the Withra. You may know me from my viral Simpsons TV.
Be honest, it's great, isn't it? Go ahead and say it's great if you want to.
If not, you probably shouldn't follow me. My Instagram is mainly just pictures of birds, and I don't update it that often. But you should give my buddy Warren a follow, at Bart of Darkness. So if you've listened to this podcast before, you're probably wondering, what's going on here? Today, we're going to turn the tables, we're going to peek behind the curtain, and I am going to interview Warren. Warren, welcome to your own podcast.
Oh my God. First of all, round of applause for Brandon. That was just fantastic. That was unbelievable. So good, man.
Single
and off
take.
The dome like that.
Single take.
Just went right for it.
Just
like,
went right for it.
I mean, it's almost like you practiced in the mirror.
I don't look in mirrors. I'm superstitious about it.
That's right. Yeah, man. Well, it's great to be here on Simpsons is Greater Than. I'm a longtime listener, longtime fan, and I'm excited to be interviewed by you.
I'm excited to interview you. I want to let's get this right out of the way up front. So there's a reason I'm interviewing you.
Okay.
You've been teasing it for a long time, a special announcement. I would love to say it. People have emailed me asking me to say it. Actually, I don't know. I forgot about that email. But you should have the honors. Tell us what you've been working on.
All right. So those listening to this, when you're listening to it, it is possible that I still haven't made an official announcement on Instagram. So you're getting like the real deal, like... This is for like the real heads, you know, like this is for like the people that don't just follow my collection. They follow this podcast. So they're like the real, I don't know. I don't want to say they're the real fans, but they're like the real followers. Like you guys, you know, I love all the people that give a shit about what I do, but I love all of you just a little bit more. So just know that as I tell you about this. But so the big announcement that I've been teasing for God knows how long, it feels like 5 years, but it's been at least a year and a half, 2 years that I've been sort of talking about this throughout the podcast, throughout the Instagram, whatever. I wrote a book about Simpsons merchandise, and I did that with my friends James and Lydia from The Simpsons Theory, and with the help of my dear friend Caroline Walker Evans, who took all the photos. She did an incredible job. She spent a week with me taking photos of stuff in my room. And we, you know, we styled all these photos, kind of walking through the life of the merchandise. And I could not be more stoked about the book. And the exciting part, and I guess the reason we're doing this episode, is that it comes out in December, December 5th.
December 5th.
This book will be out. December 5th, this book will be out.
Man,
and you'll be able
to
order it
even to me. I didn't.
Yeah, there you go. Brandon's hearing about it live on the show. So December 5th, it'll be officially out. You'll be able to find it pretty much anywhere that you get a book. I mean... You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Books A Million. I think it might even be at Walmart. I don't know where this book will all be. Or if you're like me, you'll probably just order it online, which I will give you all the information to do that. in the description of this episode. So you can order it right now if you want. But that's what I've been working on, and that's that big teaser that you've all been waiting on. And I hope you're as excited as I am, because I love a coffee table book. I know Brandon also loves a coffee table book, and this thing is the real deal. I couldn't be more proud of it. I'm just going to leave it at that. We'll get into the interview, but there you go. It's like, now that I'm telling everyone about it in this episode, I almost don't, it's like I can't get it out. I'm too excited.
I mean, it's a huge buildup. I will say, like, I'm super excited about it. I in no way worked on this book, but I've seen some early versions of it, and it is incredible. It's beautiful.
Thank you, man.
I read a little bit of it. He wrote some words, not just pictures. He wrote some great words, and I don't own a coffee table, but I'm thinking of buying one just to put this book on, so I can just display, for the book. Display it prominently. Just set it right there in the middle of my kitchen on a coffee table.
I look forward to a photo of like new coffee table, and then it's just my book like right there on the corner.
Yeah.
No, I mean it's yeah, like so like Brandon said, it's not just photos. It is a lot of photos. I think at its heart, it is like a, you know, I wouldn't call it a picture book, but you know, like the photos are like the heart of the book. But I do, you know, I sort of walk through the life of the merchandise, and James and Lydia as well. They talk about comics, video games. We talk about the clothing. We talk about the bootlegs. We talk about, you know, stuff for your bathroom, stuff for your kitchen. Like, I mean, it just shows you the scope of how much stuff they made for this show. So, yeah, I didn't even say the title. I guess I should tell them the title.
Yeah, you should.
It's called Collecting the Simpsons, the Merchandise and Legacy of Our Favorite Nuclear Family.
How long have you been working on this book and you don't know the name of it?
I know. It's a long title, guys. It's a long title, but there it is. Collecting the Simpsons, the Merchandise and Legacy of Our Favorite Nuclear Family. And, you know, I'm not going to brag, but the other day I was in Walmart looking for something and I Googled Simpsons toys Walmart to see like if they had any Simpsons stuff currently, and the book came up in the Google search. So I'm just gonna say,
nice.
You'll be able to find it.
That's
so,
gonna feel kind of unreal to see this thing that you created come up in the results like that. That's wild.
It did. And shout out to Mango, who is publishing this book, for having such good placement in those Google searches. That's
rad. So let's start off by talking a little bit about the book. I want to delve into some other things eventually, but like tell us how the book got started. How did it kind of come to be?
So it's interesting because this is something that I've wanted to do for a long time. You know, on this podcast, I interviewed Robert W. Goetz, who did what I consider like the two best books about Simpsons merch in the late 90s. And there's not a lot of writing in those books. It really is like more so a here's a bunch of stuff and who made it and where it came from. And the reason those books are so significant is because when you first get into Simpsons collecting, or well, I guess it doesn't matter when you get in, but when I first got in, there's a lot of stuff that you don't know to look for because you just don't know that it exists.
Yeah.
And by Robert making those books, he really did a service for all collectors because one, it was super early. I mean, the show was barely 10 years old when he started making these books. And it just gave us all stuff to look for. It's like, oh, I didn't know about
now.
This stuff. Yeah, it's I didn't like know about this stuff
Pokemon
from Germany.
Pokedex.
Right. I didn't know about this stuff from Italy. I didn't know about this stuff from Japan. And because of Robert, you know, I was able to put this stuff on my list and look for it. And there was a time where I feel like I had like barely anything from these books. And over the years, it was like, oh no, this book has helped me find so many things just by knowing that they are out there. So when I interviewed Robert, we sort of joked about like, oh, you know, like he was like, someone needs to do an updated version of this idea. Like somebody, you know, like sort of hinting at me. And it's something that I had talked about. Like I was like, no one's really done this in a new way. No one's really like tried to modernize it, make it like more of a, you know, there's more than just photos, but it's still a lot of photos and it gives you information and no one's really kind of tried to take it up a notch, you know? So because of what I do on Instagram, that's something I knew I wanted to do because I care about that visual and that information and that history. That's sort of what I do on the Instagram anyway. And, around, you know, I'd say around a year later, when I still didn't really have a clue, like when that would become a thing I could actually do, James and Lydia, from The Simpsons Theory, who have also, Lydia's been on the show, reached out to me and said, hey, you know, because they wrote a book called The Simpsons Secret before that. And they said, we're looking to do another book. And we want to do a book about Simpsons merchandise. And we would love to have you be a part of that project. Like, we'd love to have you be, you know, a co-author, equal partner in this idea, because there's no one else that we would rather do it with, you know? And they were like, we already have the publisher. We've already pitched the idea to them. We're going to pitch the idea to them as long as you like the idea. And we'll get you in touch. We'll see what happens. And I said yes, because why would I not?
Yeah, and, of course.
One thing led to another. They called me. We worked out the contract. We worked out a timeline. And, you know, this is something I'm sure we'll talk about throughout this interview, but there's obviously going to be like hiccups and road bumps and things change and things become like a bigger thing than you thought they would be. But like, you know, we worked out like the idea in the beginning and sort of watched it shift and mold over time. And so, yeah, it was really James and Lydia reaching out to me, you know, with an idea that coincided with something I wanted to do. And it was kind of meant to be.
That's amazing. That's so exciting. I love when those sort of all of the things kind of connect in exactly the right way. And it sounds like that's what's happened. That's so super.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, what are the chances of that, in all honesty? Because I'm not going to say I wouldn't have done it, because it's something I really wanted to do, but I didn't really know where to start.
Of course.
Because they already had that relationship with Mango, it just made it so much easier to like, it sort of kickstarted this thing I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's rad. That's super rad. When you're first starting, it's got to feel like you're at the bottom of the mountain and you have nothing but blank canvas ahead of you. Like, that's got to feel a little overwhelming.
Oh, my God. I mean, look, I'm just going to be honest with all of you. Writing a book's fucking hard. it's one of the hardest things I've ever done. And it's not that I thought it would be easy.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I write stuff. You know, I've written things before. I used to do little short stories, or I used to, you know, when, you know, I sort of write with the Instagram, you know, I was kept tell a little background. Like, I just thought in my mind, like, you know, not that I was overly confident, not that I expected it to be a walk in the park. I was just like, I think I can do this, you know?
Well, it's a subject matter that you're really fluent in. It's not like somebody was like, hey, do you want to write a book about apples and their effect on society? You're like, oh, maybe. I'll have to do some research.
Truthfully, I do love apples.
Apples are pretty.
Yeah, apple I think right apples now, get a lot of hate. Apples don't get enough respect in the fruit world. So
one thing I've come to love as I'm like getting older, as a side tangent, is apple cider. Oh my God. Apple
Delicious.
Cider. It's like adult apple juice.
Ugh. I mean, honestly, applesauce, a fresh apple with a little bit of peanut butter. I mean, there's not a lot of things that I don't like that are apple. Yeah. So I'm just going to throw
apples
that out there.
Pretty good.
Also a plug for the Spindrift flavor apple cider, which is very delicious. So
really?
please check that out. Yes.
I just got some apple cider that was Honeycrisp apple cider, which I've never had before. I'm excited to break it out.
I love a Honeycrisp apple. Please update us all on how good that was. But yeah, you know, I was scared to write this, because once I started, I would like write a paragraph and be like, oh yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh man, I'm getting hungry. I'm gonna go take a little break, eat a sandwich. Yeah. Like you realize the magnitude of this thing you're about to do, because this thing, you know, and obviously James and Lydia, we sort of split up the chapters. So like I didn't write every chapter. I wrote so many and they wrote so many and so on. And we all worked on them together in a sense, but, each chapter is credited to the person who wrote it, which I think is a cool detail, sort of lets you know the voice of the person, in each chapter. But like, you know, this book is 340 pages.
Damn.
Guys. Like it's a lot of images. It's a lot of words. It's a lot of stuff. So, it's, overwhelming once you get into it, but,
Do you have a physical copy of it yet? For yourself?
No, I should hopefully by November.
That
so
is
you guys
so
will probably.
Exciting.
I'm assuming I'll announce this on the Instagram sooner than that, but at the very least in November, I'll have actual copies, and I'll probably do a lot more content with it then, and really ramp up like the promotion. But
so excited. Well, I want to talk a bit about the collection itself and a kind of your relationship with it. Let's start by just like easy off the top, like, how long have you been collecting?
Brennan, I just want to say real quick, you're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you.
You're approaching this as if we're not friends, and it feels very it feels very professional. I mean, you're going to replace me if I'm not careful here. So this is really good.
It's what's really hard is like I've asked you a lot of these questions privately, and I know a lot of these answers, but like other people deserve to hear these things, you know.
No,
so I'm trying to. Also, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Right. That's okay. Respectable. Yeah. I mean, NPR, if you're listening, I think Brandon has a real knack for
Terry Gross has got to retire soon, you know. So just give me a call. My Instagram is at the Withra. I only do things about birds or The Simpsons.
Okay. I will not derail your question.
No,
so you
cool.
said the origin of the collection.
Yeah. How long have you been collecting?
So I've been collecting for a little over 10 years at this point. I guess we're going on 11 years. And I had no intention. You know, this is something that longtime followers probably have heard, but I had no intention of actually, you know, doing this for the internet. Like, I wasn't like, you know what? I bet it would really do well if I started buying Simpsons toys and posted them on the internet. Like, I had no expectation of that. It was not like, you know, because this, even 10 years ago, that's sort of before everyone was obsessed with things going viral.
Yeah.
I mean, people
that's
were
also
in a sense,
not
but
your personality. You're not that kind of
right.
person. It's just something that happened naturally.
Right. Like Brandon made this little TV. He didn't make it to go viral. It just happened to.
Yeah. You know I was a ghost on the internet before that. And then I tried to become a ghost again.
Right. As we all do. But, yeah, so I just, you know, I started it because I grew up loving The Simpsons, and I, you know, I settled down with my girlfriend at the time, my now wife, and
congratulations.
I wasn't really like traveling, playing music as much anymore. I was sort of getting into a space where I like had time for other hobbies, and I just wanted something to sort of like really focus on, because I'd always collected something, whether it was like baseball cards or basketball cards or video games or comics or whatever, like when I was a kid. So I've always had this bug, this sort of like gather things sort of element to me. And so I wanted to find something that would be fun to collect. And because of how much I love The Simpsons, it was sort of a no-brainer. But the origin of that is even funnier, because it wasn't like so much, oh, I'm going to make a conscious choice to start collecting Simpsons. It was really just like happenstance, in the same way that the book was like, it's something I wanted to do, but I wasn't like actively like, this is what it will be. So Emily had never really watched the show. She knew what it was. It just wasn't something that was like super relevant in her childhood.
Yeah.
And so I found this like best of Simpsons VHS, and I was like, oh, you know, we have a VCR. That'd be a fun way to watch these. You know, it's like a couple episodes per tape. You get these little extra Tracy Ullman shorts on there. That'll be like a fun sort of proper introduction.
I know what tapes
and
you're
so,
talking about. I used to have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so good. And so I found a couple, and then I was like, you know, I'm gonna get on eBay and see if I can find the rest of these. They're probably pretty cheap. No one really cares about VHS that much. And I was like, oh man, here's a sealed one for $8 or whatever it was. I was like, I'm going to get all of these. I just want to have all.
I love how it's slowly stepping up. It's slowly ratcheting up.
Right. I think it's 10 or 12 sets was all they made. And those each come with three tapes. And so I eventually got them all. And then it was like, you know, this Bart Simpson doll would look kind of cool leaned up against those on the shelf. oh, that's a cool Bart Simpson hat. You know, like, I'm going to get that too. And then before I knew it, like, a friend would hit me up and be like, hey, you know, I found this talking Bart thing. Like, I thought you might like it. It's only like $5. And I was like, oh, you know what? I will take that, you know? And before you know it, I had like this little closet set up with all of these little Simpsons things. And then I had, you know, a bin under the bed full of stuff. And then I was like trying to find room to put other stuff. And at the time, we were just living in like a small apartment. So Emily was like, look, I'm all for this, but like you don't really have room for it. Yeah, you don't really have a place to put this stuff. But it was luckily, again, we were like sort of in the market for a house. Like, we were sort of looking to get a bigger place anyway. So once we found a house, the floodgates opened, and I was like, oh, well, now I have a whole room. I can just buy whatever I want.
Yeah.
So yeah, it started very organically. Like, and I think that that is why I still enjoy it, because I also like didn't, you know, it, again, it wasn't like a conscious thing. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to try to have the biggest Simpsons collection. It just very naturally came together.
That goes nicely into my next question. Was like, there had to have been a moment where it went from, I am buying some Simpsons stuff because it's nice, to like, okay, this is a thing. This is a collection. Like, there had to have been a mental switch at some point. Do you remember that?
I do. And I think it was around the time that I found World of Springfield toys, because that was, you know, obviously buying those VHS. And The Simpsons is not anything that I ever really stopped enjoying, but it also, you know, like anything, you, if someone asked you if you liked it, you'd be like, oh yeah, I love it, but you might not watch it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think between things like Tapped Out, which was, you know, something I've talked about on here, a lot of times I think it got a lot of people back into the show, because it's just such a fun, you know, reference salad to the whole thing. So I think between Tapped Out and, you know, sort of showing it to Emily and getting those VHS, it really sort of made me fall in love with the show again in a way that I hadn't been since I was probably a kid. So once I started finding the World of Springfield, sort of in the same way as Tapped Out, it's like, oh my God, this is Gil. Oh my God, this is Sideshow Bob. I would like to have all of this little set, you know?
Yeah.
And once that started happening, you know, you start to get in a mental space of like, oh, you know what? I think I might just buy all of these.
Yeah.
Because then I have them all. It's like the complete set, you know? And once that became the thing, it really opened up. And that was like, you know, when we were in that apartment, I remember finding room like on the, like up in the top of the closet for like these play sets that I was buying. And that's when I was like, this might actually be an issue, because at the same time I was starting the Instagram, and it was really fun to post it and talk about it and see like people will say like, oh, I remember these. And you know, that's really truly the origin of not only the collection, but the Instagram is like just people wanting to see it. Like, you know, there wasn't, it's just, it's a crazy cycle that led to everything.
Yeah. I think that's really like kind of beautiful. I think one of the reasons why the Instagram account is as successful as it is, and why people want to see it, haters be damned, just want to fuck you all. Fuck you guys. You in particular. So I think that it's like, I think everyone wants to collect Simpsons stuff. I mean, not everybody, but you know, anybody that likes the show wants to collect the Simpsons stuff. And your Instagram account gives you a way to like vicariously have a collection, even though you don't. You know, not everybody's got the space, the time, the whatever to do it. So it's so nice to be like, you're doing a great service. People get to kind of like live vicariously through you and your collection. And it's also, I mean, those nostalgia bombs are just so, you post stuff sometimes and it's just like, oh, I'll see, like, and it'll be stuff that I've never even seen before, but it still makes me feel nostalgic, which is
strikes a chord with you.
Yeah, yeah, it totally does. It's really cool.
I love that. And I think that that's sort of, you know, because again, since the Instagram was mostly my way of displaying it at the time, because I didn't have the room, I think that was sort of my intention, was like, you know, this will help me catalog it, know what I have. And also it does create a space for people that used to have things that they didn't keep, or the things that they always wanted that they no longer have. Because of that, I think it really, it just became something else. And now it's like this, you know, database in a way of like, you know, what year did this come out and who made it and why does it matter? And that's really like, I think that's why I love collecting in general. It's preservation. Absolutely. You know, and I some people think it's like, oh, you know, if you collect things, you're just obsessive and you know, you're hyper focused or whatever. But there is something to the idea of like, you could argue that toys are worthless outside of like their emotional value, and you could argue that they don't really matter outside of your connection to the property they represent. But I think there is something very special about nostalgia, and I think it matters more than people realize in their life. I've seen people look back at like a show they haven't seen in 15 years and they get this like warm sense of comfort. Like they're like, oh my God, like this used to mean so much to me. And You know, it sort of reminds you that life is simpler sometimes, and there's not always like this big picture thing that has to be super important just to want it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's okay. Yeah, and, you know, I know that all the stuff in my room will not end up in a landfill.
Yeah.
Because I'm assessing value to it and preserving it and maintaining it and letting people enjoy it for longer. I think that's what collecting is.
Absolutely, man. That's very, very beautifully put, by the way.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
Yeah, that's great. So, like, with the collection, you know, you started with a world of Springfield stuff, and that's a great line to start with because it's so huge, that line. Like, they just really hit something good there, and then they kept hitting it, you know. I've never really collected too much Simpsons stuff. Well, I do love the t-shirts, but
yeah,
I have even like had a small little shelf when I was like in my early 20s of the World of Springfield stuff. I just thought it was so neat when it came out. But with the Simpsons, like, there are so many rabbit holes. There's so many lines, you know. You have World of Springfield, you got the Dandy stuff, you got t-shirts, you got video games. What are your favorite things to collect in the Simpsons universe?
So I think that also, like with any collection, it really sort of changes because, you know, again, World of Springfield was huge for me. I think it's huge for a lot of collectors because it was more accessible. It was newer. It was bigger. Arguably, it's the best looking. Like, it looks the most like the show. And, you know, Playmates, who made all the Ninja Turtle stuff and continues to, like, they really knew what they were doing. So World of Springfield was like special to a lot of people. But I think the deeper you get into it, especially, you know, again, with books like what Robert Goetz did, is you realize, like, it's wacky, man. Like, Simpsons stuff gets really weird. There's, like, you know, a lot of stuff they made in the beginning and even into the mid-90s that's, like, it's just odd. And it's very of the time, but it's so endearing how much of, like, a, you know, a time machine it really is. Like, you know, you were talking about this bag I posted the other day. Brandon messaged me about this bag, and he was like, I never realized how much I needed something so obscure. You know, it's just such a cool thing to look at. And I think that is, you know, The Simpsons represents the 90s in such a bizarre way, but it also, and something I talk about in the book, it doesn't make sense that it was so popular in the merchandising space because the characters are weird looking. They're yellow. The text on the packaging is like really chunky and rough. It's almost like, you know, it sounds corny, but it almost has like a weird like punk quality. It's like, this is not cleaned up for public consumption. It's very odd looking. And like, no one really did that in that way. It just looks so weird. So the deeper you get in, you start appreciating that weird stuff. Like, Dandy is a big one for me because it comes right at the beginning and you can tell.
Yeah.
Like,
they haven't figured it out yet.
No, like, it's by all, you know, by all accounts, it's kind of ugly. Like, their faces are flat on most of their stuff. You know, it's like the one angle you don't want to look at the Simpsons in, and that's the majority of their toys. They make these like rag dolls, you know, and like their faces are just flat with a weird expression. And I just think that's the most charming thing on earth. Like, there's just something so strange about it, in a way that I really appreciate. And I think most people that collect Simpsons for any length of time, they get really wrapped up in that early pink and green packaging because, again, it just doesn't make sense. It's like very bright in your face. The text is messy.
It's neon. It's amazing.
It's just so odd. So I think Dandy is a big one for me. And anything, you start to have these like areas of focus, right? So Dandy was big, and then you start to appreciate, you know, if you're talking wacky, you start to see all the like ceramic and porcelain stuff made in Europe and Japan and, you know, just every, you know, across the globe. And you start to be like, okay, this is like riding the line of being a bootleg. Like, it looks like kind of bad, in an amazing way. Like, one that I've always loved since I discovered it is Tropico, which is from France. And some of their stuff is beautiful and looks like perfectly on model, or at least like very close to on model. Some of it looks like they were vaguely described the show by a stranger. I love that so much. Like, there is such an endearing quality to those like weird products. And I guess also scarcity makes it fun to find you often have to find it in France or meet someone who will ship it to you from France or buy it from another collector. So it's, you know, I think you start to get obsessed with like the weird and wonderful the longer you do it.
Yeah. The Simpsons memorabilia in particular is really kind of unique in the grander scheme of things. Like there's plenty of things you can collect, Star Wars stuff. You can collect all of these. There's all kinds of properties that have a vast arrays of toys, but a lot of them, you know, like with Star Wars, it's very under lock and key, you know, they work with Kenner. They like, you know, control the line, control the image and all of that from the outset. But the Simpsons has gone through so many different, you know, different manufacturers, different sort of, you know, toy lines and stuff like that. And it's like because they didn't stick in one place and they didn't try too hard to control the image, there's a lot of weird stuff out there. And that's kind of beautiful about it, you know?
It is. Yeah. I think it's because they understood early on that, like, who knows how long this will be around?
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe we don't have to be so concerned. And, you know, it's a lot different, I guess. You're talking about Star Wars and it's like, you know, this is something that sort of, you know, it's a movie. So you hope that it blows up and becomes this like cultural thing, but they didn't expect it. But by the time the merchandise really went crazy for Star Wars, they already kind of knew it was a thing. They're like, oh, no, we have something here. We're going to have to crank these movies out. But The Simpsons, like, for all they knew, they were just another, like, you know, Ren and Stimpy. They would only have, like, four or five seasons or one or two seasons. Like, they didn't know.
Yeah.
So if a licensee, you know, this is something Bill Morrison talked about with me several times. If a licensee called and was like, hey, like, our packaging is this, can we throw Bart in a green shirt for our packaging? They sort of just looked at each other and shrugged, like, yeah, why not? Like, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. You know, we don't feel established enough to be like, no, he has to only be in a blue shirt or a red shirt. So I think that that's also kind of beautiful. They just, you know, Matt has a history of being sort of a DIY comic and artist. And I think that really comes through, especially in the beginning. Like I don't think he ever expected to be famous. And I don't think he ever treated The Simpsons like it was going to be. And I think, again, it's sort of, not to tie it to myself, but like, I think that organic nature is why.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he was so like open in the beginning to what it could be. And well, who knows? Like, you know, I'll license part to the Cleveland Browns. Who cares? Like, I might only have 3 years of this. Like this could fall off a cliff tomorrow. And I think that is the reason that people still care. It's the reason I wrote a book. It's the reason that anyone follows me, because he just took that risk.
Yeah, I love, you said something a moment ago about it being kind of punk, and it made me think like there is a direct line between sort of the self-published DIY garage punk band and The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know, it feels very, I mean, of course you have Bart Simpson, which is an easy line to draw to punk, but there's also more of the spirit of it, especially in the early days with it kind of coming up off the ground and starting as those shorts and all of that. It's great.
Really good. Like Matt, you can tell Matt was just like a guy who just wanted to like, because I mean, you know, anyone listening that hasn't actually sat down and read Life in Hell, like in any capacity, I mean, he did that comic until like 2014 or something. Like he kept doing it.
I didn't know he kept doing it. That's
For a long time. And if you go back and read, especially the stuff that sort of predates The Simpsons from the 80s, you'll understand like, no, this is weird and like sort of boundary pushing and subversive and, you know, very makes a great commentary on society in a lot of ways. Like one of my favorites is literally it's two slides and one says success and one says failure. And the rabbit is sad in both of them. And everything in the background is really positive in one and one is really negative in the other. And it's a comment on, you know, those things don't inherently make you happy.
Totally.
And in such a beautiful, simple way. So like Matt really had a way of like of getting across a point. And you can see why they reached out to him to like pitch a show about these rabbits, which is originally what they wanted to do. And he was so precious about them. He's like, no, I can't do it. I have to make up something else. And
let me make up some other bullshit.
Yeah. And you know, who knows how true this is? They've been telling this story for decades now, but they say he doodled them on a napkin in the lobby before his interview to like, and it was like, I, you know, I know you wanted to talk about the rabbits, but I think we should do a show about these guys. And they took it, you know? So there is something very like, you know, by the seat of his pants, let's see what we can do. I'm going to do this one way or another kind of thing that Matt had. And I think that that's really obvious in the beginning of the show and the merchandise and everything. And obviously time has changed that a little, but in a way that's okay. And it's like crazy to see where it's gone.
Yeah, it really is. I want to ask you, do you have any white whales, like pieces that you've wanted that have eluded you?
That's such an interesting question. And I'll give a little shout out here to Four Finger Discount, who actually just had me on recently. And this is something we talk about a little bit. That episode should be out, or it's probably already out by the time you listen to this. I'm not sure, but that'll be coming out too. So go check out Four Finger Discount. They've been doing a podcast about The Simpsons for so long, longer than I've been posting my collection, I believe. So check those dudes out. But it's interesting because I think that like that, you know, I say to him, Grail sort of means a different thing to me. Like to me, a Grail used to be like a specific thing. And I think that's how most people view it. Like I used to be like, oh, you know, a dream thing for me to have is the Save Blinky Bart. Like that used to be the thing that I wanted so bad because they believe that only like 10 of them exist because no one cared and no one sent the mail in. And most people like, you know, it's like everyone knows the names of the people that have them. It's like, oh, I heard that Gary has one and Alex has two. And like, there's such a rarity, you know, they go for so much money that most people in the community are like, oh, I know where all of them are, at least the ones that we know about. So for a long time, that was one. And it still is like, if I ever had an opportunity to get one, it would be, you know, amazing. And it's something I really want. But to me, it's more so become like the things I don't know. Like, I feel like the most beautiful thing about this hobby is there's so much you don't know. And that's also like the point of the book. It's like, there's a million things that I didn't know about without Robert's books. And I hope that in some way, like the book that we did helps people learn about some other stuff and know to look for other things. So for me, like the real grails of my life are finding out the things that we still don't know exist. Like I want to find out about more weird Bartman toys that were canceled. I want to find out about weird ceramic stuff that was, you know, too fragile or too ugly to actually sell. I want to find out about, you know, bags that were like too bright, too colorful. Like no one wants to wear this. You know, I want to know about this stuff that isn't currently known about. So those are my white whales. Other than that, I feel like, you know, without bragging, I've tracked down a lot of the stuff that I thought I would never get. So I feel very fortunate. Obviously you're never satisfied. You never actually get to the end of the rainbow. Yeah. But I do feel like for a long time, there were things I never thought I would get and I have them now. So that list is always going to change. So Blinky will stay on it forever. But other than that, I want to find out the other stuff. I want to find more secrets.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And, as your friend and knowing you, that is so correct. Like, congratulations, you know yourself. That's really good. Like, that's half the battle in life.
Yeah.
But like,
Brandon's like, you know what? I ran analysis on that. And that makes sense.
That's this how is now turning are. Back into therapy. That is absolutely who you are. And I mean, that's kind of one of the beautiful things about you is that you have like an inquisitive mind that is always searching. And it's not necessarily that you're like you said earlier, you weren't trying to become, you know, internet famous. You're not trying to like sit on a throne made entirely out of Bart heads. You are just like,
well, maybe.
I mean, that sounds kind of weird and cool. Maybe sounds pretty Halloween. Cool. Yeah. But you're like, you're searching for the unknown. You're searching to like broaden. It's really like an exercise in broadening your knowledge of this thing. You know, almost like a historian, you know, you're the Indiana Jones of Simpsons stuff. You're like in some dark cave somewhere with a bag of sand and there's a Simpson or a Bart head again. And you're switching them out so the booby traps don't go off.
I mean, first of all, I really appreciate you saying that. I mean, for better or worse, that is just who I am. I acknowledge, not to make this too like, you know, deep, but I acknowledge that like we're not here forever, you know?
Yeah.
I think the point of life is like finding joy in things, like learning about things. And, you know, it's okay to casually like something. You don't have to be an expert on something, but there is also something very rewarding about knowing a little bit more about things that you like. Like if I get into, you know, like Brandon knows, I over the last few years, I've gotten very into jazz. And it's just because it's a genre that I never really knew much about. Like, you know, I knew who Miles Davis was. I knew who John Coltrane was and Thelonious Monk. Like, you know these names because you've heard them in movies or whatever. But it's just, it's one of the only genres that I didn't actually know anything about. So I've gone down this rabbit hole of like, no, I want to learn about this genre to the point that it's become one of the things I like the most in music. Like I've come to really appreciate this genre and how broad and wild and crazy it is. And I think that's sort of relatable to The Simpsons in a way, because I think it's a show that everyone has heard of and everyone knows, but there's like so much stuff that only a few people know about because they want to know, they look for it. They try to find out this information. They try to find out like, you know, why wasn't this toy made or how many of these exist or why didn't they do this? You know? And I think that those kind of questions make anything more fun. Like, yeah. I want to know why they didn't release this one Wayne Shorter recording until 1980 when it was recorded in 1966.
Yeah.
In the same way that I want to know why there was a Bartman flat-faced dandy that less than 15 of them exist, supposedly, maybe less than 10. Like, who looked at that and went, nah, we don't want to make him, yet they made a Bart with, like, you know, lipstick all over his face for Valentine's Day. I just want to know, like, who, like, why did they, you know, not want this? And I'll never know all those answers, but looking for this stuff makes it more rewarding, makes it more fun to look at.
Yeah, I mean, because you're not only are you uncovering, you know, merchandise and cool physical objects, but like you are finding the story behind them, which adds richness to the universe of The Simpsons to you and all of that. I want to you reminded me with your great answer, just to let the listeners know of a fun Brandon and Warren thing. Lindsay and I go thrifting a lot. She loves to go to thrift stores and looking around, and you invariably come across Simpsons stuff. And I always take a picture of it and send it to Warren. And it's my dream to find something in the wild that he's never seen before. I would like, it has kind of turned me into like a mini collector. I'm never buying anything, but I'm collecting photos of things in the world. And I just want to find it, and then I'm going to buy it. And I'm going to hold it ransom, and I'm going to make him give me $100 million for it. But it's fun. It's fun. Like the search is fun. I kind of have the search bug a little bit. You know, I'll see like a Bart in the corner or under a bunch of clothes, you know, or something like that. And of course, every single time, guys, I'll send Warren a photo, and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's this, and this is this." Damn it, he knew about it.
It's not only you, because literally, you know, yesterday, my mother-in-law, was at an antique store and found a thing and was like, texted Emily and was like, "Oh, I'm going to get this for Warren." And Emily's like, "Hold on, let me see if he has it." And of course I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, no, that's just this. And I don't need it. That's just the, you know, the wrestler Homer doll that they have at Universal Studios. I don't need it, you know?" But also like that is, you know, again, for better or worse, that is just how my brain is wired. I mean, I'd say in general, it's a benefit in life because it makes me like want to understand things. Like I'm not going to, you know, blow up the house with the grill because I'm going to like understand how to use the grill. But I also like, I just can't not go down the rabbit hole, man. It's just the way I've always been. I've never had a job I didn't want to be better at. And, you know, and I'm by no means like, you know, a perfect student. Like in school, I was the opposite. Like I cared less because like, look, I understand this. I don't think it's going to apply to my life. I don't really need to understand geometry any more than I do. But with things that I'm interested in, it's like the opposite to where I just want to know it all.
Yeah.
And then, you know, write a book about it.
It's amazing.
Who knows? Maybe it sucks. Maybe you guys hate it.
There's no way, dude. That's just you getting in your own. I've read some of it. It's wonderful. I'm like excited to read the rest of it, genuinely.
Man.
Do you have any, what's your, this is an easy question, but like, what is the crown jewel to you of the collection or jewels? Like, what are your favorite pieces that you personally just enjoy for the sake of them?
So it I think it has to be sort of a three-way tie. So you know, my favorite things, like I said before, are Tropico, Dandy, and just like obscure stuff, right? So like that's kind of the trifecta. I also really like backpacks. So I guess I would put that up there too. I have this weird thing. I love Simpsons backpacks. Like they
backpacks
just
are so pleasing just on their own backpacks.
They just take such a unique eye for design. Like none of them are the same. Like obviously a lot of them, they just zip over the top, but there's some really wild ones out there. And Simpsons ones in particular got really crazy. That's something I enjoy. I guess I'll throw that in there as well. But for me, it's like, you know, we've talked a lot on here about the auction from a while back. We even did an episode about it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And because that was all Dandy, or Dandy, I've always said Dandy. Clearly it's just Dandy spelled differently. I don't know why. And I think I've even corrected myself on the show.
Never put that together until just this moment.
Yeah, it has to be Dandy. But I've always like put a weird emphasis on the D. I'm always like Dandy. But so that stuff, you know, I won some really amazing stuff in that auction. A bunch of stuff that doesn't actually exist. There's not many of them. So those are the things that I always want. Those are like, you know, the things that are near the top of the list, no matter what. But I think the answer stays the same for me, and has for probably the last few years. And I think my favorite find, just because of the story behind them, has to be, my Paint Masters, which I used to call prototypes, but I learned through like talking to some other people who are a lot more knowledgeable about just the process. They're actually Paint Masters. So Hamilton Gifts, they had a line called Presents by Hamilton Gifts, and they made these like really, really on model dolls for the time. 1990, they made like a large set and a small set. And they were like, they say they were a little more expensive because they sold them at like Hamilton or that at Hamilton. They just sold them at like Hallmark and places that were more for like gift oriented places, you know? So they were like a little more expensive than just like a, you know, a rag doll or like a street kids toy from the store. And when they made these sort of toys, like they would, you know, make a prototype. They would sculpt these characters. And then they would also do what's called a paint master, where they would paint them to show like, this is what they will look like roughly when they're finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
A few years ago, there was a set of what appeared to be prototypes or something. It was like really unclear. The listing wasn't great, about some of these on eBay. And to this day, it has to be the best find I've ever had because, like I said, the listing wasn't good. There wasn't a lot of information. Like it told like sort of the origin of them, but it wasn't really clear what they were. And so I won them for like close to nothing. Like, I mean, I think I won them for less than $30. And it's like the full set, large and small, missing one or two Barts, I think. And then like, also the paint masters of like the smaller PVC set that Hamilton Gifts also made. And, it turns out that like these were, you know, the paint masters are normally destroyed or they're like not given back to the person who made them. It's like honestly really rare for the artist to get them back because they're just, you know, they just, that don't normally doesn't happen. But for some reason, she had them. And a friend of hers was selling them, and she had passed away, and she was going through. Also, her name is Rusty Lee. I want to say her name, the person who sculpted and painted them. And she, like her friend, was going through her stuff and found them. And I guess Rusty's son was going to throw them away. Because he just assumed they were old. He just thought they were old toys. That's how the story goes. He was like, oh, you know, who cares? These are like, cause they were, some of them were broken and there was like paint on their clothes. Like they just kind of looked like they were old toys that hadn't been taken care of. Not understanding what they are, that would probably seem true. So she pulled them out and was like, I just feel like someone would want to have these. And she put them on eBay, and I'm sure she was hoping to get something for them, but we actually talked back and forth for a lot. And she told me a bit about Rusty. And
that's cool.
She said, like, you know, even though these didn't go for a lot of money, like hearing your story and seeing that you're a collector and you really care about this stuff and you want to know about it, I think it would make Rusty really happy that you have them.
Oh, that's nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that's sort of a special one to me just because it feels like, you know, they easily could have been thrown away. I'm sure there's a million great collectors out there that could have won them, that would have also loved them and given them a great home, you know?
Yeah.
I like how I'm talking about them like they're alive. But, you know, they're a special piece of like the history of the process.
Totally.
And so plenty of people would have appreciated them and been good homes for them or whatever. But I just thought it was really great that, you know, while it was a stroke of luck for me, she felt like they were going to the right place.
Yeah.
So that's like a special
one
for
cool.
me.
That ties in nicely. I was going to ask you, has like a collectible ever brought you closer to another person or like formed a, you know, a new relationship come from it? Because half of the fun is the human interaction that comes with having the collection.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I should say having this Instagram account and talking about this stuff for as long as I have been, I've made a lot of friends. Like I've made friends in the UK. I've made friends in Canada. I've made friends all over the world that I've, you know, would consider real friends. Some of them I've met in person and hung out with them. And it's a really great thing. I mean, obviously Brandon, even you, like if I wasn't doing this, and honestly on a more substantial level, you, because if I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't have even, you know, had the platform to talk about your TV or like, you know, reach out to you and interview you or do whatever. And our relationship has turned into like a very real friendship that means a lot to me. We do the show together now. We talk all the time. We honestly don't even talk enough. I would love to talk to you even more. You're just a busy guy and I'm you know, I'm very needy as a friend sometimes. So I try to give you your space, but
I was just fishing for this, by the way, with this question. I was just like, I'm tired of talking about you. I wanted to bring it back to me.
That's
you know
good.
How I
as
am.
You, as you should, man. But, no, I mean, truly, like, it's, you know, if I didn't have all of this, I wouldn't have met you and we wouldn't have a real friendship. I mean, we've hung out in person several times. We've done things together. And that sort of stuff enriches your life.
For the listeners, like, I was just down in Florida last month and Warren and I got to hang out for a bit. And we always, like, intend to hang out and record an episode live. It's going to happen one day. But we always end up just, like, hanging out and enjoying, like, being two dudes, you know, walking around getting some coffee and looking at records and stuff like that. You know, you have to make time for those things. So
you do. And, you know, just to put Brandon on blast slightly, we actually were going to record the episode in person. And at the last minute, he got too busy. So Brandon was like, oh, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Actually, never mind. Too busy. Don't come.
It's crazy right now. For listeners that don't know, I'm going to plug myself a little bit. I work for a small independent video game company and we've been working on a game for 2 years and we are in the final mile of the game. It comes out early next year. You not knowing the name of the book, I only ever remember the code name for the game because we didn't name it until just a few months ago. It's called Penny's Big Breakaway. It's going to be pretty rad.
I love that.
It's going to be really fun, but it's crazy right now because we're like polishing things up, getting it all together and all that. So
yeah, and let me just say, like, guys, if you think you were impressed by the little TV Brandon made, Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, you'll be able to buy this game on Switch. I'm sure you'll be able to get it several places.
It's on it. So it'll be all platforms and all that. It's going to be pretty. It's a very retro, bright, colorful game. So if you like the look of Simpsons merchandise, you're going to like the look of this game.
1000%. I've seen some of the gameplay. It looks so fucking cool. You guys are gonna love that. So that's like
cool.
As soon as that's out, we're gonna be plugging the hell out of that. You can count on it.
It'll just be nice to, you know, like what you just went through with the book. You get to that, you can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's like, oh man, is that dot getting smaller? Is it getting further away?
I truly, like, you know, to expand on that, there was like a time where we thought the book would be done in like June.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, this will be out by, you know, August. Like, we thought, like, we were going to be done way sooner. There's always going to be roadblocks in any meaningful project.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy to say, like, not only, you know, did we write the book, but, like, James, Lydia, and I all contributed to the design of it. We were, like, heavily involved in, like, every aspect. Like, we had, you know, final approval on everything. We, like, worked alongside with the designer, Alina, who did a great job to, like, bring this thing to its final form. Like, we worked in tandem with her and like probably bugged the hell out of her being like, no, I would like to see a little bit more like this. And, you know, we were really invested in this final product, as I'm sure Brandon can understand. Like, you start to feel like you feel like you've done this much. You have to get it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do feel like we got it right. I'm sure, like, once it's in my hands, I'll find things to criticize or things I wish I had done. But, you know, at the end of the day, I wrote a book. That's my first one. And I did it.
It takes a lot of, like, stamina to do something that, you know, requires more time than a weekend. Like,
yeah.
I think that good ideas are kind of cheap and easy to have, you know? Like, who hasn't had a conversation with a friend where they came up with a great idea for a movie or a story or something like that? But, like, the hard thing is carrying that torch for as long as you do with all of the self-doubt that comes with it, with all of the moments of, like, why am I doing this? Why am I still doing this? And you still, you know, you persevere and you carry it all the way through. It's kind of like that episode of The Simpsons where Krusty directs the movie, you know? Yeah. It's like all of this self-doubt, all of this, like, just second-guessing yourself, or, you know, even the more nihilistic thing, like, what is the point of this? Why am I still, you know? It takes a lot of work to do that.
I can't tell all of you, and this is, like, you know, I mean this sincerely, I can't tell you enough how many times during the process I was like, is anyone even going to care about this thing?
You told me that even after you finished it. We were having coffee like 2 weeks ago and you were like, I'm worried nobody's going to. That's just the silly brain.
You just never know. I mean, I think you work on something so long, like 2 years is a long time.
Yeah, it is.
And I think you work on something long enough that you start to look at it and hate it. I mean, it's like, you know, tattoo artists will say, like, you know, they look at something they did 5 years ago and they're like, God, I would never do that. Would be so much better now if I did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have regrets at all, because I think it turned out really well and I'm really excited. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm putting it down, because I'm very proud of it. And I think you're all going to love it. But it is crazy. Like, when you work on something for that long, your relationship starts to shift with it a little bit, to where you're like, I was really proud of how this sounded, and now I'm like mocking myself under my breath. I'm like, oh, you moron. Like, why did you say it? That sounds so dumb. So it really, you know, any length of time with something can really change the way you look at it.
Yeah.
But we crossed the finish line. And again, like,
beautiful.
It looks so great. Like, I'm so proud of the photos. I'm so proud of the design.
The layout is so cool. Yeah, it's so beautiful.
I am just, you know, I think you're all going to, like, learn something from the book.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for finishing it.
Thank you, Brandon. And I'm proud of you for almost finishing that game. I can't wait till you actually do.
Yeah. And anybody out there, if you're making something, keep holding that torch, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Self-doubt is a normal part of everybody's creative process.
1,000%.
So some people get self-doubt and it's because they think, I'm not the creative person that I think I am. It's so easy to see somebody, like, you know, just like see somebody make something that's beautiful and incredible and be like, wow, that was so easy for them, because it's, look at how effortless this looks. But it's not effortless for anybody. No. Everyone's pushing hard, trying hard, doubting themselves. So if you're out there making something, keep going through it. That's my Tony Robbins moment for the podcast.
Absolutely. And I think we should also point out, like, you know, that is also why, in addition to all the other things we talked about in a previous episode about why I've been laying sort of low this year. But, you know, I also mentioned in that episode that, like, it's also because I've been working on a big project. So this book not only took a lot of time, but it also, like, you know, it made it harder for me to do other things. It made it harder to post on Instagram. It made it harder to make this podcast, because I was really consumed with getting this done and getting it done right. And, you know, in addition to the photos we took in my house, I also went to Seattle, to take more photos, like, a couple months ago and just, finish up some small stuff, like, you know, additional stuff. So it's like this whole thing of, like, I just needed to get that done, so that I could come back and focus on other things. And now that it's done, hopefully we can do much more with not only the Instagram, but the podcast and all of that. That's what we want to do. So
absolutely.
We now have that time.
I'm looking forward to it. We always talk about getting back on that regular podcast thing, and I always enjoy it when we do.
Hey, we put out three episodes in real close succession. We're back. You know, we took September off, but you're hearing this, and don't worry, you're going to get a Halloween episode. So there will be a Halloween episode this month as well.
I'm so excited.
Get excited for that.
We just put our Halloween decorations up, and I'm like fully in the spirit right now.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm in the spirit fully. The only thing is I haven't really made enough time to watch spooky stuff. And so I got to get on that. Like I got to get to like the scary movies and shit. Cause I haven't done that yet really. Lots of football. So I've been a little distracted from the scary.
But we are full on like watching spooky stuff every chance, catching up on what we do in the shadows and watching movies and all that. But let's get back to interviewing you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have more questions. Let's do it.
Yeah. So if you could make a piece of Simpsons memorabilia, like a dream piece of Simpsons memorabilia, it doesn't exist. Maybe you don't even make it. You like find it. You're like in an antique store. You pull back the thing. You didn't know this existed. And there it is. What would it be?
Wow, man. That is like, that's like the hardest question I've ever been asked. that is really difficult. I'm going to take a second and think about that. You know, I will say, and this is not by any means like a cop out, like that question is even harder because of the scope of what they did make. So like my mind immediately jumps to like a few things and I'm like, well, they sort of did make something like that, you know, like
I Super asked you an 7. Impossible question because you have such a big brain that holds all of this stuff in there.
And I mean, even with Super 7, like they're, you know, shout out to Super 7. They're making stuff that I never thought anyone would make. So they're like
some beautiful stuff right now.
They're like really killing it. So, man, I truly don't know. I guess if I really had to like find something, and this is just being true to my brain, being true to what it immediately jumped to, is I wish there was even more Bartman stuff from the early days.
Bartman was people, so cool.
Bartman is cool. He looks awesome. It's not really a part of the show, but it's like, it's just something visually so pleasing about it. And if you're a fan of the comics, like I am, they did a lot more with Bartman in those. So there was a line of Simpsons things made in Germany by a la carte in the 90s. And they only made 5 things. They're like, I'm sure you've all heard me talk about them. They're very weird. There's like a Vampire Burns. There's a Maggie, a Krusty. There's a Bart. And there's a Homer holding a huge donut as if he were Atlas holding the globe.
I love that.
I think if I really had to just think of something that would be really special, it would have been a Bartman in that style. Possibly in like, you know, sort of like a pose or like from one of the covers of the comic, because those toys, like especially like doing a Vampire Burns, doing like a Homer as Atlas, they clearly had like the ability to do something sort of off the wall. So I think something having to do with Bartman in that style would be something really special. But for whatever reason, like most lines did not really capitalize on Bartman. Like he's out there, like there's stuff that obviously exists, but not nearly enough, in my opinion.
I completely agree. Bartman's just so cool. The design, there's something so pleasing about it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like it's bringing in two things that you like, superheroes and like this dumb little cartoon. So
yeah,
it also I think to someone who doesn't know, it's ultra weird. So I think, like, you know, I think back to like Bartman shirts like at school. To someone who wasn't watching The Simpsons, they would look at that and be like, what the fuck is that? And I just think that the oddness of that character and that design makes it even better to me. It's just something so weird. It goes back to that whole wacky and weird, you know, throwing stuff at the wall idea that the show started with.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I have one big final question.
Wow.
Then,
oh man, now we're in the hot seat.
But then we're going to do a speed round. I'll tell you about the speed round in a moment. So the big question. What is, it can be your favorite or just top of your head, what is your favorite memory watching The Simpsons?
Oh, man. Favorite memory watching The Simpsons. You know, I'm gonna tie it to a few things because I've talked a lot about how, you know, nostalgia is a big thing to me. I really like the warm feeling that comes with, like, you know, just looking back on things that meant a lot to you at a formative time in your life. And something that still brings me a lot of comfort is like taking time for myself, right? Or taking time for, like, you know, just to like not have like something on your mind that's super important or work related or project related, just being able to like completely turn your brain off and not think about anything else but other than what you're like snacking on or what you're watching. And yeah. I think for me, The Simpsons was like one of the earliest examples of that, where I would come home on Sunday from like, you know, church or whatever. And I knew that like one of the things that got me through that day was knowing that that night I was going to be able to like throw like a Tombstone pizza in the oven, and me and my brother were going to split that and sit down and watch The Simpsons and just laugh, you know, and just not really think about school the next day. And it was like the last gasping breath of like your week, you know, your days off. I really think that that sort of thing has really carried over into my adulthood, to where like I still need that time to just be like, you know what, tonight we're going to just, you know, we're not going to worry about working out today. We're just going to go get a pizza and we're going to watch a movie or we're going to watch TV. So I think like my favorite memory, if I have to just like wrap it up, is like just that idea.
Yeah.
It's like that show taught me to just like, you know, you have something to look forward to, and you have, you should be able to sit down and take your mind off the frustrations of life and just enjoy something. So while not specific, I think that's the most important thing that a show like The Simpsons could show anyone, is just take some time for yourself, man.
Yeah, I love it. It's like you give yourself permission to sit there, to not, you know, I think all of us are so productivity mindset, you know, especially here in our Western culture. It's very much like, what'd you do this weekend? What are you doing today? What are you doing tomorrow? What's your to-do list? Like, and those are good things because it keeps us going and, you know, all of that good stuff. But it's important, especially as you get older, to like give yourself permission to like, I'm not going to be working on anything in my life right now. No side project, no regular shit. Like, and I'm also give yourself permission to not take things so seriously. That's one thing I love about The Simpsons. Everyone, it's an equal playing field. They make fun of everyone equally. It's like, it's silly. It's permission to sort of not take it all so seriously, to enjoy it, to laugh, you know, at the expense of ourselves more than anything is what it is. And it's, it's a great answer. I completely agree.
I'll also submit a follow-up that is a, I guess you could call it a runner-up. It's like less of a, because to me, that's like, that's more to the childhood and what it taught me of like, you know, giving yourself some time as far as through the journey.
Yeah.
I think the thing that has been like the most surreal and probably the thing that when this is all, you know, later in my life, the thing I'll look back on and find to be really special is the fact that this collection, this whole thing, this whole Instagram, this whole podcast, whatever, it brought me to a place where I was actually able to meet some of these people and get to know some of these people. And, you know, I've been able to like not only interview Yardley Smith a few times, but like get lunch with her and get to actually know her.
That's incredible.
And, you know, she is the person that we deserve as Lisa. She's a very special person. And, she's done a lot for me, like not only as like a fan of the show, but just as like, a friend. So that is something I feel like I have to mention, is that she is, a rare and special person in this life.
Yeah.
And that goes for a lot of the people that work on the show. They are a different breed of person, and they care more than people think they care about like the product that they make, even now. So The Simpsons is special well beyond just like, you know, the content they used to make or the stuff they did or like the things that it led to or the merchandise or whatever. They are different for whatever reason, however you want to explain it. So a special memory to me will just be the relationships I've been able to form as a result of just being this guy who collects toys.
That's amazing. Hell yeah. All right. Speed round. Are you ready?
Speed round. I'm ready, man.
I'm just going to ask. I'm going to quick fire ask you some questions. You just answer with exactly what comes off your head. All right.
Let's do it.
First one. You get to have dinner in Springfield with three people. Who are they?
Lisa, Krusty, Homer.
Oh, that'd be a good dinner. Yeah. All right. This is kind of fun. These are all multiple choice. You just pick one. You ready?
Okay. And I also just, I want to chime in real quick. Some of these answers are because I'm answering them quickly. Maybe if I really had time, I would change them. So don't be coming for me and be like, I can't believe you said this. Just
No, this is set in stone. This is what you
there
think
we go.
Forever.
Okay. Well, there, that's fine.
Itchy or scratchy?
Itchy.
Lenny or Carl?
Lenny.
Apu or Mo?
Mo.
All right. Burns or Smithers?
Burns.
Kearney, Jimbo, or Nelson?
Nelson.
And finally, Snowball 2 or Santa's Little Helper?
Snowball 2.
I knew it.
Yeah, now this is what I will say. Well, I guess I don't get to expand on it, so there we go. We'll just leave it at that. Snowball 2 doesn't get enough attention. She doesn't get enough love. I'm sure she's just as wonderful as Santa's Little Helper. There you go.
That's right. Absolutely. And different than Snowball 1.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
To tie it back to Halloween, we just put out our decorations, and one of my favorite things is I made a tombstone for Snowball 1, and I put it in the front
Brendan,
yard.
Brendan, I saw that on your Instagram. It's beautiful. So good. I'm going to hire Brendan to not only make gadgets for me, but to make me some fucking yard decorations.
You really need to hire Lindsay for that. She does it, man.
Lindsay's the best. Everyone should be following Lindsay on Instagram too. I'm just gonna say that.
Actually, she's got some great content. Mine is nothing. It's just birds, but she's an illustrator, and her style is. I mean, I'm biased because she's the love of my life, and she's the greatest ever. But her art style is so fun.
I say this with no friendship bias at all. It's incredible. Yeah, Lindsay is so talented. She's really great. Everyone should be following
Cactus
her.
Wax is her Instagram.
At Cactus Wax. Get on that right away. Brendan, is that it?
That's it. You've been interviewed.
Whoa, my fully, God. Fully we interviewed? Did it.
Do you feel interviewed?
Wow. I got to give a special shout out to Brendan on this because he pitched this idea to me and we did not prep at all. None of this was like set up. I didn't know the questions. I didn't know anything about it. He was like, I think it'd be fun if I interviewed you about not only the book, but just you. We've never really done that on here. And not only is that very sweet of Brendan to want to put a spotlight on me, but it's just, it was fun. I had a really good time. I felt like,
too.
I mean, Brendan, no joke. Like you got it, man. You're good at this. You could have your own podcast. Are you kicking me off the podcast?
This is my podcast now.
Are you taking the podcast from me?
Yeah, it's mine, dude. I'm doing all the recording. It's mine now.
God,
I just
get damn
that
it!
Password.
I just fucked myself with this.
I'm also taking over the Instagram account. And that book, it's mine.
No, the sequel it comes rights. Out. It says written by Brendan Withrow. guys,
this was fun, dude.
This was super fun. Like I said, we will be working on a Halloween episode. We're probably going to figure that out shortly after this recording is over. Figure out what we're going to talk about.
Absolutely.
We're gonna see what we can do. As a Halloween special is something I always want to make time for, even during really busy times for us.
Same.
And you know, like I said before, we took off September, but it was really just because Brendan was out of town. You know, I was really in crunch mode with the book, so. I think we even said that in the last episode. We said like, hey, we don't know what September is going to look like, but we'll get back to it soon. And here we are.
We're back.
It's October. We're back. I'm sure we'll do some fun Christmas stuff this year. Brendan and I got some ideas. I know you're all sick of hearing that, and I keep saying it, but now you know why. The book is done. I've been writing a fucking book, and now it's done. So now we can focus a little more on the podcast and everything else, and we can do lots of fun stuff with all of you, maybe even beyond what we've been doing.
That's right. I took the intro. I'm going to pitch the outro back to you. I'm giving you your podcast back. Here's the golden baton, the golden microphone.
Thank you, man.
You can
thank
have the
you,
outro.
Brendan. I really appreciate that. I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. Some of this you might have known, but if not, like, I hope you learned a little bit more about me. I hope you're going to the description right now to click on a link to pre-order this book. It comes out in December, December 5th. Collecting the Simpsons, the merchandise and legacy of our favorite nuclear family. See, I didn't even mess up the name that time. and go buy that. You're going to be really stoked. It's a hardcover book. This is not some flimsy little paperback. This is a real deal. So please, it would mean so much to me. I'm sure it would mean a lot to James and Lydia and Caroline if you would go pick up this book. And let me know what you think. I hope you love it. It's been a labor of love, but I'm glad it's done. And I just am ready for people to read it and tell me what they think of it. As for all of you, if you have questions beyond that, you know, email us at simpsonsisgreat@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, consider leaving us a review on Apple or legitimately. I don't care anywhere that accepts reviews. You can follow the official Instagram account at Simpsons is Greater Than, and go follow Brandon at The Withra, and see the birds and all the cool stuff that he's talking about. We love you guys. We hope you love the book. I hope you love the book, and we'll see you all soon.